Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells, it gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. When I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
We often as singles look for the person that we're going to marry to fix our anxiety, yeah. Fix our insecurities, yeah. To fix our fear. Knowing the perfect love of Jesus is literally the only thing that will cast out my insecurities.
That your body image issues, it doesn't go away. Like, it only is getting worse. When you start having a kid, when your metabolism slows down, you got to deal with your body image stuff now. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
And I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
You look really cute.
Oh, girl.
Yeah, like your little bow.
Technically, I'm like borrowing your sweatshirt, but I'm feeling good about it. I feel really good about it. We were talking earlier. I am not a big Target shopper. And I feel like you get the cutest things at Target.
Yeah.
And every time I come over, I'm like, oh, I want to borrow that. Where's that from?
Yeah. Bring all Target.
I'm like, not I issues. Don't think I don't know if I really own anything Target.
You're way too good for that.
I am bougie. this is not sponsored by Fashion Pass, but it should be. These jeans are Fashion Pass. I just feel like I love fashion. So actually, I don't think you know this. Did I tell you that I was a fashion major at TCU in the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. So for those that don't know.
I think I learned that on an episode.
Okay, probably. But like fashion was my big thing. I love fashion. That's why I love Fashion Pass, which is a clothing rental service for those that don't know. If you want to use my code, Nicoletta1, we're not sponsored.
You get like how much percent off?
We get like $50 off your first month, which means you get a month of clothing for $20 or something crazy like that. But I say all that to say, I love like funky fashion of like a one-time wear.
So do you like my jeans?
No, I actually really like your jeans. Those are the type of jeans I think are really cute. But for me, I'm like, one, I live in either workout clothes, basics, or like Fashion Pass extravaganza, one-time wear. If you've seen my birthday fits, it's like puff sleeves, all out. But I'm like, I'll never wear that again.
You are the puff sleeve.
I'm the puff sleeve and I'm the ruffles.
You love ruffles.
I love
puff sleeve, you have ruffles. You have like one extreme or the other. You are either
homeless. I'm sorry, is that what you're gonna say?
Cute homeless.
Yes, fair enough.
Sometimes you're cute homeless.
Bougie. I mean, these are like Lululemon sweatpants. Okay, actually, I have a question for you. We did this with my roommates the other night. What are your, if someone were to say Laura is, actually, it's probably better if we answer it for each other.
Okay.
It's Laura is these top five things. Nico is these top five things.
Okay, let's answer for each other.
It's like your personality. So for example, my roommate was Kansas City Chiefs, ice cream, fitness, Jesus, obviously, and Evvlo. It's like a workout app. So like when I think of my roommate, I'm like, those are her. That's her personality.
Okay. Ready? I'm going to do you first.
Oh, okay, go.
We're going to state the obvious. Nico is ruffles. Nico is pink.
Okay.
Well, okay, like I'm going to take that one back.
See, but like you have to be like when you,
okay.
You see this, it's like you're, if you were to think of Nicoletta, these five things.
I did not understand the assignment. I repent. Yeah. I'm going to start over.
I was like, I don't know if pink is
you're
the first
pink,
thing.
You're not pink, but pink ruffles.
I love pink.
This shot of the pink ruffles in my head that I can't get out of my
Nicoletta's
head.
Nicoletta's personality.
Okay, Nicoletta. Nicoletta is ruffles.
Yes.
Nicoletta is coach. Like you're a fitness coach.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're like, wow, like you're really bombing this.
I thought you meant coach the brand. And I was like, are you joking?
Ew, you're not coach the brand.
Okay.
No. You are a coach. Like you are
a fitness coach. You're a coach in people's lives. You are a baddie. Like, yeah, you just coach people. You're like, let encourager, me help you train. That's what people say. You really are encourager, but it's more than that. Okay. I think it's more than encourager. Okay. I'm standing firm on this one. You can't make me back down.
Encourager feels like you're so pretty. It's like, you are beautiful. Get off the ground. Improve yourself.
No, exactly.
You're beautiful.
No, exactly. You're such a great coach because I've worked out with you before and you're like, come on, ladies, keep pushing.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're like a coach. You know what I mean? Like okay. Football coach. You can do the whole get in your face.
I probably could marry a football coach and be.
You hear that, boys? You hear that?
DM me.
DM us. DM her.
I will be a great football wife.
You really would. You would. I would be. You'd be a great coach as well.
I could be Sandra Bullock.
Huh.
I think you could. Blind side.
Okay, let's see if I can get some more ones that are good. So I would say with coach, I would say encourager, pastor. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. You are fitness. Like we all know that. You are fitness. You are passion. Wait, I'm not doing this well.
Okay, let me do you first because I feel like you don't know the excitement. Okay, I'm going to say Laura is... Oakley.
Okay.
Oakley and Colby. So like, I mean like your wife and mom. Yep. Jesus.
Yeah.
Honestly, when I think of you, I think Velvet Taco.
That's so funny.
Because you go, I feel like that's where
you. I used to.
Yeah. You used to go there all the time. I think you are preacher. And I think that you are non-toxic / this sounds bad, cheap.
I am budget friendly.
Yes, that is probably the right word. But like, you are not like, oh, I really want to spend money on
you.
Like, you're like, no, I will find $8 earrings. Not and cheap, that's savage. Them. But like, you know what I mean?
I'm not cheap, but I know what you mean.
Budget friendly. And
I am a deal finder.
Yes.
I'm a deal finder. I'm not a big spender.
Yes. So that is how I would, what else do I think of Laura? Like, I think when I think of you, I think of your tan truck.
It's silver.
Oh, that one. And lip gloss and chapstick from our last episode. Honestly.
So here's the thing. It's like whatever comes to your mind in the moment, I feel like is really what this is.
Fair.
Because one of the things that I was going to say is toxic about you because you actually don't. I was just holding my tongue, but I was I'm going to say
place. This is a safe place.
I know. I was like, do I go deep or do I just
explain
stick
toxic
it?
So people don't think I'm like a toxic.
You're not
dater.
Like a toxic personality.
I'm like, people who are new to this could take this really bad.
Like, don't be friends with her. She's super
We've
toxic.
Got cheap and toxic.
We're I'm cheap. Yeah. She's toxic. No, you are like, you don't care about ingredients.
I eat really
like,
healthy
you
though.
You eat healthy, but not clean. Like, for example, you probably eat some organic and yes. Some you're like, I
dirty dozen. I will
don't
eat.
Care.
I do. Organic.
Okay. Way to go. I'm really proud of you. You will
and
eat,
I
you
do
drink
grass
diet.
Fed.
You drink Diet Coke
only about once every 2 months now.
Okay. I remember being at the store with you.
Oh no, I'm nervous.
And you getting this like fake sugar. I almost literally said a cuss word.
Call her unholy today. Lady.
This fake sugar. And I look at the back of it. No, I look at the back of it. No, it was called something. I forget what it's called. It was like that brown sugar.
Oh, Swerve.
Yeah.
It's natural.
And you've posted it before. Okay, natural. Look at the ingredients. That thing has erythritol.
It sure does.
And it is literally like you just say the word and you know, this cannot be good for you. And then I found studies. Like it literally was like, hey, it's coming out that erythritol is linked to these specific cancers. So stop using it.
Fair.
And so I texted that to you and you're literally like, nah, girl, I'm fine.
Okay. But for Lent, I gave up everything.
You gave up erythritol?
No,
proud of you.
Yeah, we're making moves. No, but I, for the 40 days of Lent, have been doing a not the Daniel fast, but kind of the Daniel fast.
Yeah.
And so, okay, full vulnerable moment. Because I met with like, I still have like a trainer and like a woman who's like helps me, which is like the last bits and pieces of my eating disorder stuff. And we like work through it. And I basically noticed little triggers around different types of food and like desserts. And so I felt like the Lord said, give up desserts for Lent. And so then I brought this to her and was like, hey, like I know that. And for those that know eating disorder language, it's like bad to like restrict a whole group of food, just whatever.
Yeah.
But basically she just was like, and I was like, hey, I would love for you to pray over what you think could be beneficial for me to give up for 40 days of just like an act of worship. And just, you've walked through this for the last year and a half. And she goes, I think for 40 days, what would it look like to go back to God-given food? Like go back to like what was available during Jesus's time and eat the things. So I'm like literally fruits, veggies, meats, eggs, nuts.
I'm so proud of
you. And milk.
This is good.
And so
you're a healthy eater anyway, but like, I am. This is, I mean, I feel like we don't have the discipline of saying no to ourselves. Totally. We are an indulgent culture.
Yes.
We are a culture that is, I want what I want and I want it now. I want comfort. I want satisfaction and I want it in things that I can eat, things that I can purchase.
Okay. I actually have a question for you.
Okay.
I wrote, so basically also as I'm doing this, I'm supposed to kind of like write down things I've learned about myself.
Yeah.
And one thing I've learned is I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, but in the sense of like, oh, like I want this cookie. Like I think there's also, there's like a lot of deep levels for someone with an eating disorder background. There's like the voice in your head that's telling you like you shouldn't restrict. There's a voice of you that's like, is this honoring to the Lord? There's a voice of like, you shouldn't have the calories. Like a lot of voices for a girl who had a 25-year battle of an all types of eating disorders.
Yeah.
But here's my question for you is that as I wrote that down though, I was really hit with, this is not going to be beneficial in marriage. Of like this, like, I want what I want to do. All, you know what I mean? And I think that is a part of singleness. Like you don't have anyone, you don't have to ask permission, you can do it. But I wanted to ask you, like, did you go into marriage with that? What was, how did you fight that piece of marriage of like, you are now not only choosing what you want to do when you want to do it all the time.
Marriage and parenting, like you have to mature. That's your only way to survive because singleness, like you have discretionary time. Like you can choose what you want to do. And if you want to do something, you can do it. You really can. Like you can make that decision. Even if you're like, hey, I'm being disciplined. Like, no, you're not waking up every single morning and having someone else's demands the first thing on your mind. You're waking up and thinking about how you feel that you're hungry. When you wake up as a parent, you're thinking about how they feel. You're thinking about what they need. Like getting ready for this podcast is not me choosing outfits and putting makeup on. It's keeping a daughter, like letting her know that she's paid attention to, that she's valued, because that's a high priority to me because I'm running really fast in a lot of different things and it's easy to just be like sit in front of a TV screen. They need time. They need attention. They need... Yeah. And so it's just, that's not the answer. I do put her in front of the TV screen, mamas. It's okay. But like today I brought her little TV screen in there while I was getting ready and I was engaging with her as she's watching her movie. So now you're thinking about, hey, how can I help my daughter know that I'm here for her and I'm present and we're doing this together?
Yeah.
I'm laughing at the jokes that are on the little dog being silly. You know, I'm laughing with her when she looks up at me and I'm there with her. I'm waking up in the middle of the night when she wakes up. You just are constantly sacrificing and it doesn't matter what you want to do to a lot of extent. Like you can't. The other thing that I think that people don't realize before you get married is it's really, I'm a fast person. Like I like to move fast. Yeah. I'm an activator. I make decisions and I move and it gets me in trouble in marriage. And there, I have to learn the discipline of slowing down and running things by my husband and letting him be a partner with me so that I don't miss. It's part of God's provision in marriage. So you like, you get a bigger, like better picture, full picture when you have two thoughts and opinions, but it is slower. And I don't like that. That's hard for me. It's a discipline. It's really hard. So anyways, all that to say, like, yeah, you can do what you want to do until you get married and have a kid.
And that's what I'm kind of realizing. And obviously, like, food is such a smaller scale of I want to do what I want to do. But it did show this piece of, like, man, I often don't think, like, I'm always like, oh, I want to do this. I'm going to do it. Like, oh, and the Lord, just even with the Daniel fast of kind of going, like, I realize going to a party and there's chips on the counter, I would eat some just because they're there, not because I, like, necessarily even wanted them or was craving them. But it was just like, oh, I want to have some, so I'm going to do it. So it just kind of showed, like, on a very minuscule scale of going, wow, like, I am always thinking about what I want, when I want it, what I want to do. And then the thought just trickled into, like, oh, that's going to be really unhelpful in marriage one day.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just was seeing if you had any advice for that, because I feel like that's probably, and you always hear in marriage, like, it's, you realize how selfish you are. You realize all these different things. And so I'm just sitting here going,
Here's how I tell you to prep, which you're doing a lot of these things right now. Go into a room and think about other people. Like, think about what they want and die to your preferences. It doesn't matter what movie you want to watch, whatever. Like, just die to your preferences.
That's good.
Learn to communicate your preferences at the same time. This is going to sound controversial. This is going to sound like two different things. But learning to communicate, because there can be this whole low self-worth thing where you think that nothing that you care about matters. And that can get you in trouble in marriage.
Yeah.
Because you can be like, oh, it doesn't matter what I want or what I think or what I want to do. Like, let's just go with what you want. Stand up. Like, God is giving you a voice and an opinion, and you are part of this relationship now. So learn how to communicate what you need, you want. If you need more encouragement, learn how to communicate that. Here's where we get in trouble in singleness and in marriage. You get your feelings hurt and you say, woe is me. I wish she wouldn't have done that. I wish, you know what I mean? Like, she should have known that I wanted to celebrate my birthday this way. Communicate it. She's not in your head. Communicate it. Yeah. Same thing for marriage. Just communicate over.
Oh my gosh. And it's hard. So hard.
It takes a lot of work. It really does take a lot of work, but you can do that when you're single. Cause I think a lot of times we get our feelings hurt. We don't communicate. We have expectations. We don't communicate. We have roommates and we get mad about how they're doing things differently than we would do them. Communicate. Yeah. Work together as a team. The more you can put yourself in situations to work together as a team, the better set up you're going to be for marriage, because you're having to die to your own preferences, but also communicate your own preferences and work together. It's both of you coming together. Anyway, so there's just one. We could do an episode on that.
Yeah. Okay, so my question though is, I feel like I get a lot of like DMs of, I don't know, just around broken engagement and all these things, but obviously you are married. But then how do you actually prepare for marriage? Whether that be singleness, dating, like, I mean, I have a ton of thoughts from my dating experience and being engaged, but I feel like you probably have a lot of wisdom on that of like how, yeah, what would you say?
Yeah, the while you're still single, like, how to prepare for marriage. This is a good topic.
Yeah.
I want to hear first, like, what you've been doing. Because I feel like, I do feel like you are strides ahead of a lot of girls in their single, no offense to anyone else. But, like, you are forward thinking. And let me just add that to my list of five things. Yeah. You are forward thinking because what you do... here's another thing. Let me just say what you do well. You're aware of your blind spots and you are diligent to work on those. And that's one thing that you can do if you want to prep for marriage, like really pay attention to the spots where you're not good. Invite feedback, because somebody is about to be all up in your business and they're going to see the good, bad, and the ugly. My husband knows my flaws and can retort them off.
He could do top five bad things about Laura like that.
Literally, like, he would tell you, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I have a choice to either be sensitive and think that cuts down my self-worth, or say, thank you, God, that you have provided somebody to help me excel still more. Like 1 Thessalonians says, help me become more like you. And marriage is this picture of sharpening each other.
Yeah.
The scriptures say, as iron sharpens iron, so when one man sharpens another. When iron touches iron, y'all know what happens? Sparks fly.
Yeah, it's painful.
That's got to be painful. Yeah, there are literally sparks flying. It's not this pretty thing. So the more you can get with, I'm comfortable receiving feedback, the better off you're going to be. Gosh, Invite feedback. That's another thing. This is hard. It's really hard. You got to know that your worth is not in, you know, perfection, which was a hard thing for me. Like, I was perfectionist. I didn't like it. Like, I wanted to be perfect. I wanted everyone to think that I was perfect.
Yeah.
I wanted them to look at me and think like, wow, she has it all together. She's gorgeous. She's talented. She's rich, or whatever it was. Just all the things.
She's perfect.
And then here I am sitting with my podcast partner and her first five things she says about me is cheap.
Those who work with you know you the best. What can I say?
No, all my people know that I am a discount girly.
We love that about you, though.
Yeah,
it's listen. It's such a good thing.
Anyways, you just got to be comfortable with that, you know? The person who can laugh things off, Proverbs 31 talks about this. She laughs at the days to come. If you are anxious and worried about every single thing, There's no better time to practice that than right now in your singleness, because guess what? You're worried about your future. You're worried if God's ever going to bring you a husband. You're worried if God is ever, you know, if all the things that you're doing are wrong and keeping you from getting what you want in life.
Yeah.
You're worried if somebody's going to ever think you're attractive. You're just worried.
Okay. Side note on that. Can I add to that?
Yeah.
We did. I heard it. My church did a sermon on this, and it was about marriage.
Okay.
And he basically said, and we know this, but it was like, we often as singles look for the person that we're going to marry to fix our anxiety, to fix our insecurities, to fix our fear. And I think obviously we know that, but it was interesting how he just brought in, no, perfect love is the only thing that casts out fear. But then I just related that to my own life of like, wow, knowing the perfect love of Jesus is literally the only thing that will cast out my insecurities or my anxieties or my fears. And so it's just, we know that, but I don't know why it was that simple of a explanation of going,
yeah,
it is only perfect love that will cast out the things that I'm struggling with.
Here's
it will never be a spouse.
That's so good.
And so you will not be less insecure in a marriage if you don't deal with it now, or less anxious or less fearful. If you are those things now, you will be then.
Yeah.
Fix it or work on it now. My gosh, yes. You can probably speak to that.
No, this is great. I love what you just said. Your body image issues, it doesn't go away. Like, it only is getting worse when you start having a kid, when your metabolism slows down.
Ugh.
Literally, when you have a kid, your stomach does weird things. Your pelvic, you're going to therapies that you're like, I didn't even know I had a pelvic floor. What does that mean?
Like,
you know what I mean?
This?
Yeah. And that's affecting the way that I have a mom pooch. Like, you got to deal with your body image stuff now. But there was something that you were going to say, that you said, a lot of people are looking for a relationship to satisfy them and to fulfill them. That's the wrong way to look at it. You need to come with a desire to say, hey, I am satisfied in Jesus and I am okay without you. That way you can have something to actually bring into the relationship.
Yeah.
And you too can be part of completing one another because you're already complete in Jesus. But a lot of people come saying like, I'm incomplete and I need somebody to complete me. I need somebody to make me feel okay. I don't want to deal with my own emotions. I'd rather cover them with sex. I'd rather cover them with emotional connection, with codependency. And you create this unhealth that will show up later in life. And one day you're going to either have to deal with it or you're going to be that 40-year-old who's unhealthy and not fun to be around and who's coming to your teenage kid trying to make them handle all your problems that you've never dealt with, you know?
And we all know.
And I'm not calling anyone out. Like, God is gracious to that person. Like, God is so gracious and so gracious, so, so gracious. But anyways, like, I don't know. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say. I know you have some
stuff
to say.
Well, it's interesting because I had this conversation with one of my best friends recently. And she was just talking about how she's really struggling with singleness. She just wants to be married. And then she asked me, like, how are you doing with singleness? And I just felt like in the last few months, the Lord has really just shown me more and more and more of the actual purpose of marriage, which you and I have talked about on this podcast. But I just looked at her and I was like, here's the deal. He's either going to be a ministry partner and we are going to make the gospel bigger, or I'll be single.
Yes. Yes.
Truly. Like, I'm not just looking for a husband.
That's another thing you do really well.
You're so kind. But I just feel like that is, I don't know if it's a way to prepare for marriage, but I feel like it is, because people also say, like, Nicolette, your standards are too high. And I'm like, no, I'm just either looking for a guy who wants to make the gospel bigger, or I'll make the gospel bigger by myself rather than drag somebody around, because I'm not just looking for a white picket fence. Like, I'm literally looking for a man who's like, my sole goal in life is to make Jesus's name known. That's literally all I want to do in this life, is to make Jesus's name known. Then I'm like, hey, like, join the party. Let's do this thing together, because two is better than one. Or like, Jesus, I'm content and I'll do this without someone. Like, I don't want to be held back from the work that you have called me to do. And I'm either wanting to have a husband that's adding to that work and I add to his work of his ministry that he's been doing in singleness, or I'm content. And I don't know. Yeah. Like, I just also feel often, and this is vulnerable, I can feel on an island a lot. Mm. In that, like, I feel like sometimes there's something wrong with me, mm-hmm. of like, why don't I just want to be married and have like a husband and have kids and call it a day? Like, why is it that I'm like having this high of a standard of like, no, like, I want a ministry partner and someone that is literally like, hey, if we're supposed to go to freaking Afghanistan to share the gospel, like, I want someone that's willing to go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want just a husband, because I also think it plays a big role. And I think this is a big part of my story, is that being engaged, I just had it. Mm-hmm. Like I had marriage. Like I had the guy that I wanted. I thought this was my future. I had the dream ring on my finger. And I've had the thing that so many Christian singles want, and I realized it wasn't the right one. Therefore, I also have experienced and tasted and seen what singleness and the purpose of it is, that my ministry has been so much bigger single, and it was so much smaller when I was with the wrong person. And so I'm not willing to settle unless it's the right one who's like, let's freaking get after the gospel and like run into heaven together.
I'm going to speak straight to Nicoletta right now.
Oh boy.
Like, y'all can listen if you want.
I die.
Here's what's happening. Your priorities are actually in the right spot. Your view is actually more in line with the gospel than some of your peers. And what's happening is that other people are doing that. And you're like, wait, is something wrong with me that I'm not doing that? And it's like, no, you are aware that the scriptures actually say that you're going to have, your attention is divided when you get married, that you have like multiple focuses. And right now you are singularly focused and you're like, hey, I'm not willing to sacrifice that just to have a companion. Like companionship with a guy is not worth losing my purpose in life. Yeah. And a lot of people will sacrifice anything on the altar of getting married. You know?
Yeah.
They just want someone. And we said this before.
Yes. Everyone always just, I just want a companion. I'm like,
yeah,
no, you want more than just a companion.
And I think here's what people don't understand. Like when you have that mentality, like it's okay to want a companion.
Totally.
It really is. And God made you for man. Like trust me, we could go down that rabbit trail, but it's not going to solve your loneliness, because if you struggle with loneliness now, you're going to struggle with loneliness in marriage, because something in you needs to be satisfied still in Jesus. And then you can enter into a healthy relationship.
Okay. And I mean, obviously there's the basics of ways to prepare for marriage. You know, it's like, yeah, get plugged into church, start serving, read your Bible. Like, go to counseling for some of y'all that need to go to counseling. There's all the basics, but I feel like what would you say would be the best way to prepare for marriage, especially with your story, honestly, of like wanting to be married so badly? Like, do you have any regrets of things that you should have done better or you wish you had done differently?
That's a really good, any regrets? I'd have to think about that. Because I was similar to you, where I was so sad about being single. Well, you're not really.
I was going
to
say, I was like,
I'm not similar. The similarity is coming next. I was so sad about being single, but I was similar to you in this way. I was like, but I'd rather be sad if that means I have to sacrifice my mission. Like, I'd rather be sad than sacrifice my mission. You don't really have the sadness piece. I had the longing that I knew. Yeah. Was biblical, and I had wrestled with, okay, some singleness is because of sin, because abortions happen, because we need to open that can of worms in a different episode. And that helped me realize God grieves with me. But so I got comfortable with the, like, it's okay to have that longing, and it's actually really good and healthy. I'm not going to hide from that. I'm not going to run from that. But I was able to, jump off stage from teaching with this big personality that I have and say, hearing everyone say, well done, oh my gosh, you're so great, you're so amazing, and then thinking, well, this is the one thing that's keeping anyone from choosing me. However, I'm just going to live fully for Jesus, period. Like, I'm just going to. And if that means no one chooses me, then no one chooses me. And I'm not going to become smaller to make some man like me.
Choose you.
I'm not going to do that. And so I'd have to think about regrets. I mean, I think I've... Okay, here's what I would say. Giving your heart away before someone is asking for it, you're racking up wounds that you're going to have to deal with later.
Dang.
You're tying yourself to people who have communicated to you that they don't value you, that they've communicated to you. And I know you're thinking like, no, it's just that he's not in a spot today. It's just that he's busy. No.
If he likes you, he'll do something about it.
That's true. There's just no way around. Yep. It's just true. And I think having so many emotional connections with so many different guys, like, I regret that, just because, like, that doesn't just go away overnight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those memories that you made and all those things. And so to the person who's wondering, like, why I never get, like asked out, or I'm sad that I never get asked out, God might be sparing you. You know, you get one person to make memories with and connections, and you're not like getting all these other people out of your heart and your mind that you've given away pieces of yourself to.
Gosh. Okay. So I was telling my friend that I went on a walk with last night about this because she was like, you know, if you're single, you always get asked like, any boys, any updates? Yeah. I was like, no. And she goes, oh, Nicoletta, like just start dating more. And I go, here's the thing is that about a year ago, I prayed, Lord, don't bring anyone into my life until it's my husband. Yeah. And this is crazy. I remember I was driving back from the gym and I felt like I heard the Lord whisper, are you sure? And I felt like we had this dialogue and he goes, because if no one comes into your life until it's your husband, you're going to really doubt if you're pretty enough, skinny enough, and worthy enough. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to fight a lot of lies, such as kind of what you said, like you're too bold, you're too outspoken, you're too, like you're intimidating, like no one's ever going to want to marry a strong woman. Mm-hmm. And it was this interesting moment of like, oh, like I don't know if I like never want to date until the right person, because that is going to be really hard. That is going to be really, it's going to wrestle out like, oh my gosh, who am I?
Yeah.
Because a lot of my worth in my own life, or a lot of worth in culture, is you're beautiful if you're getting asked out a lot. You're cool if you're getting asked out a lot. And if you're not getting asked out a lot, there's kind of always that question of like, well, what's wrong with you? And I got to that place, and it was a few days of wrestling with the Lord of going, God, my heart's already gone through too much. I am asking you not to bring anyone into my life until it's the right person. And it was crazy. And I told my friend this last night. I go, I've never felt more invisible in my entire life than in the last year. It's not that I'm not getting asked out. I literally feel invisible in rooms. And there has been moments where I've had to be reminded of the Lord graciously. Truly, I feel him whisper going, remember your prayer. Like, remember what you asked. I'm answering your prayer. And there's been so many times where the enemy just comes in and is like, you're not getting asked out because you're not pretty enough. You're too old. You're not skinny enough. If you just looked the same way you did in high school, you'd be getting asked out on dates. Oh, she's getting asked out because she's all these things. Oh, you're too much, Nicoletta. And so it's been interesting in the last year of really working through the enemy's daggers. Like, I just feel like they're just arrows. And I have a choice to either let them hit or to remind myself of like, no, I have literally prayed on my knees. Jesus, you've got to protect my heart. Because after calling off an engagement, going through that heartbreak, and then going through another breakup after that, like, please protect me. And I see not getting asked out, honestly, as protection. But culture will tell me not getting asked out is because I'm not blank enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not whatever it is. But I'm sitting here going, no, my God is actually answering a prayer in the midst of it. So if you're looking at me sitting here going, man, like, what's wrong with her because she's not getting asked out, there's more to the story.
So much more to the story. I love that, Nico. Thank you for sharing that. It's so easy for us, like, looking at you to be like, oh, you're totally fine. Like, you're going to be fine. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, she's fine, but I'm not. Because she's so cute.
Oh my gosh,
she's so fun. You know what I mean? They're thinking all these things. Like, she's gorgeous. She's this little blonde girl. But I remember people would say that to me. And I'm like, how why aren't you guys concerned? Like, I am being level 10 concerned. There could not be more concern. Like, guys are looking straight past me, you know? And they've had ample opportunity and they're all saying, not you.
Next.
And now I'm realizing, and we've said this a million times on this podcast, I love Proverbs 21:1 because the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will.
Love that verse.
You need to know God is accomplishing so many purposes by turning people's hearts away from you. It's not about you being XYZ or not being XYZ. It's because God has a purpose that's so much bigger and so much better than you can imagine. Totally. He's like, wait a second, that's not your guy. I'm turning his heart away from you because for me, he'd be like, Laura, I know you're going to choose him. You jump on that. You know what I mean?
And you only know what you want, totally, but I know what you need.
Totally, totally. And then like 10 years from now, like, you're going to miss out on Colby. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. I could not imagine a better fit for me, you know? And sometimes I'm like, I could have anyone that's a better fit for me than you, you know?
Totally. It just shows it will never satisfy.
It truly won't. But at any given moment, God is working out so many things behind the scenes that you have no clue that are happening. it's not just about you and your relationship status. It's not just about you and who you're going to marry. Like, life is so much more than that. It really is about God saying, hey, at this time, you're going to come across this person. And there are going to be all these people who are connected to you who are going to learn and grow from your relationship.
Yeah.
Who weren't in your life before that. And then down to the second that you have kids, if you have kids, like, you're going to be in, that kid is going to be in this classroom with this teacher or this other mom who needs to hear the gospel and who's wired specifically to where they're going to hear it best from you. Totally. Like, would you wait another year if you knew that's what I was doing? So I just think we zoom in a little bit too much on, here's why I'm still single. It's, and we just make it about ourselves, and it's just not about you. It's straight up.
We just try to make sense of it.
We're just trying to make sense of it, which I understand. So zooming out and saying, like, God's doing so many things at any given time. Here's what I would say you also do really well. I'm just saying, I'm telling
you. Wow, I just feel affirmed today. Thanks, Laura.
I'm just going to keep affirming
you. I didn't know you when you were dating Colby, so I can't really affirm how you did it. I mean, you told me things, but, like, I mean, you're the best mom and wife ever. You are so selfless, so kind, and you are, I've seen the, like, powerhouse Laura humbly submit, which is, like, so cool to see, and just an encouragement that if you can do it, then I can do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, there's hope.
That's so encouraging. Here's what you do well, Nico. Another thing. You, when you see those holes, those gaps of, like, here are the reasons that I think I'm disqualified from marriage, you actually lean into those because you know that they're exposing holes in your faith and there's something to grow there. What a lot of us do is we can code it. We can say, or just sometimes even code it with Bible and code it with truth without really understanding, like, wait a second, there's something to lean into here. There's a pattern that I'm seeing in my life that is, you know, I put my worth in X and it came from this point in my past that I actually haven't healed through.
Yeah.
So you're doing the hard work of leaning into where those holes and gaps are being exposed, because those things are going to pop back up in marriage. So you're only helping yourself if you really deal with that stuff now, because that stuff's going to come up in the future. Mm. Like, I am so thankful that I really went to war with my body image stuff when I was growing up, you know, and I was the girl who was 90 pounds in high school. And if I thought that I was gaining a little bit of weight, I would only take a piece of turkey for lunch. And that was, like, the extent of any kind of, like, disordered eating for me. But, like, dealing with that and saying, I'm actually not going to do that. I'm not going to abuse my body because I think that I'm more worth it if I'm skinnier or whatever. Dealing with gaining weight and, like, body's going changing on a trip and not having anything to wear and body's changing and, anyways, dealing with that and really wrestling with it instead of ignoring it or coding it or partying to try to ignore it or just giving my body away to try to feel valuable.
Yeah.
Actually dealing with that, getting down to the heart of it has only helped me. And postpartum has been fairly easy. Gaining 80 pounds. Like, that's hard. That's hard stuff.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot easier for me than because I wrestled in my single years. So anyways, you wrestle really well and you take it to the Lord and you say, like, hey, I don't want to just coat this with some Bible verse. Like, I want to really get down in the nitty gritty with you and heal and like gain the faith that I'm missing in these areas.
Yeah. I think a good way, and I know you've said this either on an episode or just to me or just girls that I've seen you mentor, and it was always going, ask your closest people what blind spots you have.
Yeah.
Like, go to your people and being like, hey, I'm single in this season. What do you see in me that I don't see in me? And then work on it.
Yeah.
Like, that is a way to prepare for marriage.
Yeah.
And I think also going back to the verse that you said, I love that piece. I just always want to remind women on this podcast is that the Lord is in control of who sees you, who wants to pursue you, whose heart is drawn towards you. It is not up to your body. It's not up to your looks. It might get their attention, but you also don't want the guy who's staying because of the attention that you gave or the attention that your body grabbed or fill in the blank. What I'm sitting here saying is that there's so much power in recognizing and how wildly in control God is. And that's where I really am content in singleness, because I'm like, God, if you've got it for me, you'll do it. And I just get to chase after you. And truly, it's like the stupid cliche Jesus thing of like, keep running after Jesus and you'll see someone running next to you. The more I'm chasing after Jesus, to be honest, the more I'm kind of seeing that that is the case. I'm just like, Lord, if you have someone for me, I hope that they see me chasing after you and want to get in the race because I'm running. So I ain't trying to walk. So you better get in the race. And so I think, give me just the last three, because I know the episode's almost over. Like, give me last three handholds for someone that's married that you would say, like, these are the top three things I would say to prepare well for marriage. And then we'll wrap it up.
I love it. I think the communication, the feedback, the just getting used to dying to yourself and dying to your preferences. Just
I like that.
Think about your roommate, like, bend to them and, again, communicate. Like, yeah. I think all those things are probably the top. Dealing with your stuff is top. Like, deal with your parents' bag, like the baggage that you have from your parents, the baggage you have from your past relationships. Please stop avoiding it. You have to deal with it now.
Yeah.
But another thing on the lines of invisibility, and this is, I can just end with this one, honestly.
Yeah, hit us.
And hear what else you have to say, because I know you have so many great things. On the lines of invisibility, you will never feel so invisible as when you're a new mom.
Wow.
No amount of singleness even touches the invisibility you feel as a new mom. And every new mom listening to this right now is like, amen. It is such a weird, vulnerable season, especially if you are going from a career or from some, like you have eyes on you to now you're at home. It's not just changing diapers. It's wrestling with culture kind of discards you a little bit. Like, you stop getting invited to as many things. People think like, oh, she's got her life. She's fine. And the workforce kind of thinks you're less valuable when you become a mom. And it's just really twisted. It's so messed up. But if you deal with some of the stuff, like if you actually go to war with who is God when I'm unseen, is he is he actually the God who sees me, like the book of Genesis says? Or is it like, no, I'll believe that when somebody else sees me, you know, because you think right now, like what you're dealing with is the hardest thing. And guess what? There are hard things still coming when you get married, become a mom. You're wrestling now with, does anyone care about me? Does anyone still see me as like a human? I can't do all these self-care things that all these single people do. I feel this pressure to now keep up when I don't have time to look at the latest trends. And I can't even, I'm just trying to get to the gym for at least 5 minutes. And guess what? My baby just diarrheaed on the way there. And now I have to turn around and go home, you know? And now I have this pressure to like get my body back and bounce back. And also I'm breastfeeding and my brain is literally, it's proven that your brain works at like 30% of the capacity. Not to mention you haven't slept at all, but you're expected to still show up in culture. You know what I mean? Or that's how you're going to get praise and validation.
Yeah.
If you're going to get praise and validation as a mom, if you look great all of a sudden, if you didn't put on weight or you lost it quickly and you are still working and appearing to be this super mom and it's not healthy.
Yeah.
Anyways, so some of that stuff, y'all just need to know as single people and for you to celebrate, Nico, you're doing a lot of these things well. That's not going away. So get to know God's character. If I could tell you one thing, I would say get to know God's character. When you feel unseen, when you feel like no one sees what you're doing too, like no one sees or celebrates what you're doing, work really hard and work diligently for the Lord without anybody giving you the raise that you want, without anybody seeing it, give away the credit, like, and then you're going to be in a good spot.
Gosh. Honestly, I feel like what I was going to say is just, the number one thing to do in order to prepare for marriage is know Jesus.
Yeah.
But like, not just read his word, get plugged into a church, join a small group and serve. Like, no, literally know Jesus to the point that you love him so much that everything else doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. To the point where you're like, even if I'm never married.
Yeah.
Even if this doesn't go the way I hoped or want it to, I trust you because I love you. And that really is how you prepare well for marriage.
So good, Nico. Proverbs 31 says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. It says that she's an incredibly hard worker. So learn to work hard right now.
Yep.
You're also going to invite, like, we're in this culture where we're like, either I don't need no man, I can do this on my own, or please let me just get married and let me be taken care of by a man and never have to work again a day in my life, you know? It's neither of those. Like, the Proverbs 31 woman offers value. She works hard. She shows up for her family, and she's not saying, hey, I'm just trying to get married so that life would be easier for me. I'm going to be a blessing to my husband because I know who God is, and I know that there is satisfaction in hard work, and I'm not letting that go. So anyways, there's some
nuggets. You really are like such an example of that. You are so dang hardworking, and I don't know how you do all the things that you do. Truly, if you've seen things on social in the last few weeks, like, this girl is going to town with it. She is absolutely killing it, and I'm just so proud of you. Like, you are doing so much for your family, for Call Her Holy, for me, for friends. Proverbs 31 woman, ladies and gentlemen, right here. But y'all, for real.
This has been fun.
It's been so fun. And we're going to work on the top five things for each other because I feel like you didn't put crumble cookies in there. I'm a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
A little crumble. Bit annoyed, but it's okay. Wow. But overall, we love you guys. We are thankful for you guys. We hope these chats are fun. I got feedback from a good friend. She goes, you might be one of my best friends, but truly I say your podcast is one of my favorite because I don't feel like it's you anymore. It's just girl talk. And I'm like, that's the goal.
We're all just sitting here together. We're like, literally sitting here together.
Come on. Y'all, watch us on YouTube. If you want to financially support Call Her Holy, we still need help on a few more things. You can Venmo at Call Her Holy, and all your donations are literally going to getting the mission farther. The Call Her Holy everywhere. And so truly though, watching us on YouTube, big help to us right now.
And shout out to all the incredible volunteers who have donated your time and your energy and your heart to helping us do the things that are happening right now. Because a lot of this, there's some hard work happening behind the scenes from girls who are giving up their time. We love you.
We love you guys. Have a great week.